So, amen. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 through 21, when you have it, if you are able, I'd ask if you would please stand as we show our honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word. It says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." We'll stop there. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you this morning for your holy word. We ask now that you add a blessing to the reading of it. Lord, I ask this morning that you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and help me be a blessing to these thy people today. Lord, may I fade to the back and may you, the real preacher, come forward. And Father, may you be glorified. May you, who is wisdom personified, come through in these Proverbs. May we see you clearly in every aspect of our life, even, Lord, as we're talking today, of when we speak and we communicate. Lord, if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that your Holy Spirit would soften their heart. Lord, that you would speak to them, that they would see the need for a Savior and put their faith and trust in you. And for those who are here that are your children, Lord, we ask that you continue to make us humble. Lord, that you would continue to make and mold us unto your image for your honor and for your glory. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. As we've been going through now 2 weeks the book of Proverbs and looking at different Proverbs, I trust that you've been doing the readings along. This past week was chapter 6 through 10, doing a chapter a day. And as Miss Peggy pointed out in the GCS page, as we looked at chapter 10, we are now in the part of Proverbs where you're getting a lot of one-liners, so to speak. A lot of real quick drops of wisdom from Solomon. We see these four verses together in chapter 10. But just as I did last week, before we look at these, I want to take you to a passage in the New Testament that correlates with it. Last week when we talked about how to love your neighbor, we looked at what Jesus said about loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. This time, I want you to jump over to James. Go to the book of James. James chapter 3. If you see someone struggling to find the book of James, help them out. Make sure they got it too. It's good for you to follow along and see these as well. I know some of us have tablets, so you can just press it right in and jump there. But James chapter 3, and the reason I want to start there is because James has a lot to say about the tongue and about the speech we use and the power of it. In James chapter 3, verse 5, he begins by saying, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things." In James chapter 3, you will see James compare the tongue to the bridle in a horse's mouth. How even though it's a little bit, it controls a huge beast and can get it to go wherever it wants. He also compares it to the rudder on a ship, where even though it is a small piece, that small piece controls the direction of where the ship goes. He continues on and he talks about how the tongue, even though it is a small part of the human body, is probably the absolute hardest thing to harness and control in the body. It's the toughest. He says, we've tamed many things as men in this world, but the tongue is the toughest. And he says, and when that tongue is not tamed or under control, he goes through in chapter 3 and says how it is like a spark for a fire that it can cause such unruly evil and deadly poison, and it can spread real fast, just like if you take a small spark and toss it into some dead leaves or into a forest, how it can grow real quick. That's the destruction that an untamed tongue can produce. Now look with me at verses 9 and 10 in chapter 3 of James, because here's where I want to jump off and back to our text in Proverbs this morning. He talks about the tongue being powerful in chapter 9. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse ye men, which are made after the similitude of God. He says, with the tongue, it's kind of strange, he's pointing out. It's, we will curse God with, or we'll curse men with the tongue, and then we'll turn around and we'll praise God with that same tongue. He said, that's a little strange. He goes in verse 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Now take heed of this last part. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. In other words, you should not be cursing your fellow man and also praising God out of the same mouth. In other words, he says, if you're praising God, there should be no room for you to curse a brother or a sister in Christ. That's not how a Christian is supposed to operate. That's not how a child of God is supposed to operate. And that's what we have to get under control. We want to make sure that our tongue is being used to praise God, to build people up, and to edify the kingdom at all times. Amen, church? And that's what we're talking about in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 through 21. Because let's be honest, folks, and you can go back to Proverbs now. Let's be honest. Many of the problems in our life are because we say the wrong thing at the wrong time and sometimes even in the wrong way. Amen, Pastor Jeff? We say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and oftentimes in the wrong way. And sometimes, folks, a 30-second tirade of us losing our cool and losing our composure can damage a 30-year career. It can damage a 30-year marriage. It can even damage a 30-year testimony. Just 30 seconds of an uncontrolled tongue being used by the enemy. Folks, Solomon recognizes the power of a tongue. He recognizes the power that we have as Christians with the words that we have to say. And he passes along in chapter 10, verses 18 through 21, some small doses of wisdom that corresponds with what James tells us in the New Testament as to how to control the tongue to the glory of God. In other words, knowing what to say and when to say it. There's three things that we can see in these four verses. The first one is that there will be times in your life where you need to shut up. Come on! Some of y'all are like, Pastor, is the sermon going to be short today? We'll see. Especially after I read you these next couple of verses. Listen. There's going to be times in life where you need to shut up. Beginning at verse 18 in chapter 10 of Proverbs, it says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now, how many of you guys want to be a fool? No. You want to be the opposite, right? You want to be wise, which he's going to talk about here in verse 19. He says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So what's Solomon getting at? What's Solomon talking about here? He's addressing those in life who have a bad habit of running their mouths. You know, Pastor, the sermon's going to be short today, right? Solomon's addressing those who have a bad habit of running their mouths. Now, he's talking about specifically something here. Not just anybody who runs their mouths, okay? I'll come to my own defense here for a second. But he's talking about people who have critical spirits. People who, as it says specifically in the text in 18 and 19, Specifically, those who talk about others and talk about them in a critical way. Those who talk behind other people's backs. Notice it says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips. In other words, you don't like someone, you won't tell them to their face that you don't like that person. Therefore, you'll be nice to them face to face with lying lips, but then you'll talk about them when they're gone. Or they lie about others. Notice it says, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. They will tell lies about other people. Notice it says they're fools. How many of you guys, let's be honest, Pastor Jeff will put both hands up and a foot. I've been a fool at some point in my life. I've been a fool some point at this past week. Come on now. Amen. This morning, hey. Honesty reigns in the house of God. Amen. He says, these people are fools. You know what else you can lump in with these people in that same context? Those who love to hear themselves talk. How do we know that? Verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In other words, people who love to tell you what's on their mind and never miss an opportunity to do it. Everybody's like, I know somebody like that. Let's be honest, you're somebody like that. We all fall into that category at some point. We all play the fool at some point. We like to draw attention to ourselves and talk so that way people, you know, a lot of times we do it by the woe is me, right? And a lot of times today we don't do it in person. What we do is the woe is me on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is that you kids are using these days. Now, I'm turning 40 this year. I can start doing that. But listen, you do it just to draw attention. Right? We run our mouth. It says, the more, basically in verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth us, the more you run your mouth about yourself or about other people, the more likely you are to enter into sin. That's what it says. Oh, but there's an addendum at the end. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Listen to me, folks. There are certain things in life that are an absolute necessity, right? Food being one of them, amen? Water being another one, amen? A place to have shelter, amen? Protection, amen? And there are some things in life that are not a necessity. One of them being stating your opinion on every single subject or having the last word in an argument. Guess what? The world doesn't need your opinion on everything. And here's another one. If you do state your opinion, the world doesn't need to agree with your opinion on everything. Some. Amen, Pastor. You don't have to, it's not a necessity for you to demand your way in every discussion that you have with someone. You ever find someone comes to you and says, how are you doing? And you start telling them, how are you doing? And somewhere in the conversation, it gets flipped around where they're now making the conversation all about themselves. You don't have to have your own way in every discussion. And listen to me, here's another one. You don't have to defend yourself from every criticism that someone levels towards you. Ooh, we talked about that last week, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit take care of it, right? Let God work it out. You don't have to jump to your defense on everything. You don't have to have the last word. Now, of course, I grew up in a home where my father taught me that when I got married, that I would have the last word in every argument with my wife. And it was, yes, dear. But folks, sometimes we have to keep our thoughts and our words to ourselves, especially if it's critical of a brother or sister in Christ, or if it's selfish in our desire. Just keep our mouths shut, right? What's that old saying? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all, right? I like this one that there's many people who get credit for, but I see it the most, Ben Franklin. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. Scripture makes it very clear that the lips of the wise are closed in matters that could get you into defaming someone or bringing attention to yourselves. But listen to me. While there are times that we need to keep our mouth shut, Solomon does tell us that there are many times that we need to open our mouth, that we do need to speak, right? God didn't call us to a vow of silence, praise God. But there are times, even though, that we need to shut our mouths, that we need to speak up. And he comes to us with those things in verse 20. It says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. So we know there's times to shut up, but folks, there's also times to speak up. Look at the verse, verse 20. It says, the tongue of the just. What is the just? The tongue of those who are morally right and fair. Who's Solomon talking to? He's talking to the children of God. Talking to you and I. The tongue of the just. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, if you have the words of God that you study and you know like you're supposed to as a Christian, you are the tongue of the just. You have God's words of life. The tongue of the just, things that are morally right and fair, are as choice silver. What's he saying? The words that you have to share with someone are of great value. Why? Because they're not your words, they're God's words. They're God's words. In other words, you have to speak up in matters of truth, and you have to speak up in matters of justice, specifically the tongue of the just in matters of when you see places that truth needs to be known, and I'm not talking about how it's defined today, right? Well, that's your truth. No, there is no such thing as your truth. There's your opinion, and then there's truth. And truth only rests with God in absolute truth. Amen. Okay? Listen. When you see things where truth has to be put forth, that's God's truth. When you see injustices taking place that the Lord Jesus Christ reveals that should not be taking place, you are supposed to speak up for God's truth and for God's justice. Okay, well, Pastor, there's lots of stuff in this world that we hear that we're supposed to maybe be a part of. How do we know what to be a part of and what not to? How do we know which things we're supposed to speak up on and which things we're not? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Proverbs 31, before Solomon goes on this long thing about the virtuous woman, in Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, he says this, open thy mouth for the dumb. And when we say that, while we know people who are dumb, he's talking about people who can't speak, okay? Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. In other words, what Solomon's saying here is, speak up for those who are oppressed, for those who are put down, for those, because they are oppressed and put down, don't have a voice. That's why, speak up for the dumb, those who don't have a voice, where injustices are being done to them. Speak up for those who are being persecuted. In other words, he says, when you see these atrocities happen in society, you are to speak up. You are not to be quiet about it, but it's not supposed to be your truth that you speak up for. You're supposed to bring God's righteousness and God's justice into the situation. You are to speak up. You are to tell what is right and what is fair. Now, why? Because, folks, when the righteous speak, people listen. I know it's hard. We live in a world today where we're like, I don't know if I want to get involved with it because it can get messy. Right? I don't know if I have time that I want to do this or to do that. I don't know what repercussions may come if I lift my voice and say something. And I don't need that kind of stuff or problem in my life. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When the righteous speak, believe it or not, people listen. This gentleman over here is wearing a Buffalo Bills jersey. I'm rooting for the Bills today. Some of the reason why I'm rooting for the Bills today is because my Steelers didn't make the playoffs this year. Ravens fans, don't laugh. You'll be out by 8 o'clock tonight or whatever time game time is. Listen, DeMar Hamlin. We all know what happened with DeMar Hamlin. Cardiac arrest, laying on the ground. I don't know if some of you saw the whole entire community. All of a sudden, the NFL didn't have a problem with players praying on the field. How about that? We saw an outpouring of prayer like never before. One thing that stood out to me was a commentator for ESPN. His name is Dan Orlovsky. He is a quarterback. He played quarterback for the Detroit Lions, famously on the Lions team that went 0-16. He's a Christian. He makes no bones about it. He opened up an NFL live show on television, on ESPN, saying, I've heard a lot of people saying they're praying. I've heard a lot of people talk. I'd like to take time right now, and we're going to lift DeMar Hamlin up before the throne of Jesus Christ. And he bowed his head on that. He didn't care what his bosses thought. He knew we need to pray, and I'm going to lead by example. The righteous spoke up. And you know what we've seen when the righteous spoke up? Nobody shot down Mr. Orlovsky. Mr. Orlovsky has not lost his job. ESPN didn't fire him, but rather others rallied around and said, boy, thank you for setting the example for me to be more bold, to speak up the words of what is right and what is just. Folks, people need the righteous to speak because our hearts are in tune with the Lord. Therefore, our words can be trusted. Our words can be backed up in absolute truth. And let's be honest, if we speak the words of Jesus that he tells for those who are oppressed, for those who have no voice, for those who are persecuted and put down and treated unfairly, it's those words that should carry compassion and care. Why should we speak up? Because look at the alternative if we don't. It says, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Now, you're saying, well, hold on. The one's talking about the tongue, and then the other's talking about the heart. Well, yeah, well, what controls the heart if you know your Bible? Or what controls the tongue if you know your Bible? The heart. And it's interesting that Solomon goes back to that point here because, ladies and gentlemen, if the heart of the wicked is of little worth, that means if the righteous don't speak up, the wicked will. And what they have to offer to the conversation is of no value. Why? Because they don't have the values of the just. They don't have the values of the righteous. They don't have the values of Jesus. Therefore, their recommendation, their contribution will be one that is self-serving and evil and not have any compassion nor have any caring for those who need it. And can I tell you something? I know, what's tomorrow? Martin Luther King Jr. Day. You know why the whole civil rights movement started back in the 60s, around that time? One person spoke up. Miss Rosa Parks on a bus said, nah, I'm not giving up my seat just because of the color of my skin. Come on now. Come on. Look, I know we live in Southern York County and what all that entails a lot of times. We don't like to talk about race. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of things get thrown around today that is supposed to be racist, and it's really not, okay? But listen, I would hope that we would live by Dr. Martin Luther King's vision and his dream that one day we will judge people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin, okay? And if you are ever a part of something where you see someone being put down, ridiculed, spoken against, because of the color of their skin. You are not to remain silent. You are to speak up. Because last I checked, the old Sunday school song still rings true. Red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in his sight. God died for everyone. And last I checked too, even though the drawings, by the way, they didn't have cameras back then, but even the drawings that are out there, listen to me, they are incorrect. Jesus wasn't white. Just letting you know that. Okay? Got quiet. At least some people understood what I was saying there. But look, it's not just the physical that we need to speak up about when we see the oppressed. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? Listen, the alternative, listen, it's not just the physical. You know who the most oppressed in the world are? You know who the most oppressed in the world are? Those who are oppressed by sin. I ain't oppressed by sin, Pastor. Yeah, you are. There are some of you that haven't reached your potential in Christ, and you never will until the chains of sin that have you bound are loosened in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all won't ever know what your purpose is in this world. You'll run around trying to find your purpose in everything else in this world, and you won't find it until the oppression of sin in your life is taken away in the name of Jesus. Folks, the most oppressed people in this world are those who are oppressed by sin. The poor and needy, the most poor and needy in this world are those who haven't been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're going to find meaning, they're going to try to find desire, they're going to try to find purpose in everything else and keep coming up empty. The only thing that can fill their heart and redeem their mind and redeem their soul and give them life is Jesus Christ. And listen to me, if you know Jesus and you know his gospel and it has redeemed you and it has kept you, you have a prerogative to speak up and not remain silent. It's not just the physical. The biggest need in this world is the spiritual. It's the gospel. Amen. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Bring the gospel to those who are lost. Bring the gospel to those who are oppressed. Bring the gospel to those who are poor and needy. They need to hear it. There's times to shut up. There's times to speak up. Some of you are like, Pastor, you can shut up now if you want. Last but not least, while there's times to speak up and there's times to shut up, listen to me, it's always time to build up. It's always time to build up. Look with me at verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The lips of the righteous bring forth words that edify. The lips of the righteous bring forth words that bring that encourage. The lips of the righteous bring forth words that strengthen others. How do I know that? When it says the righteous feed, the word there is also can be interpreted nourish. And it's the word that's oftentimes used as a shepherd taking care of his sheep. The words of the righteous are to nourish many. You know, God gave us a remarkable capacity for human language. Gave us a wonderful capacity to communicate with one another. Listen to me, he wants us to use it for good. And all the time is the right time to use it for good. Right? He wants you to use it to build up. Listen to some other proverbs, right? The mouth of the righteous is considered to be a well of life. First off, by the way, you got to be saved in order to have the mouth of the righteous, just so you know. Well, Pastor, I've heard others who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they can build up other people. Yeah, but you can't build them up with wonderful words of life unless you know the Lord, who is the eternal Word. You can't be righteous if you're still a sinner, if you're still dead in your trespasses, right? The mouth of the righteous is the well of life. Proverbs 12:18 tells us that the tongue of the wise is of good health to others. You can offer them health through giving them words of wisdom that are found in the Lord. The wholesome tongue in Proverbs 15:4 is said to be a tree of life. It brings forth fruit and nourishes a lot of people. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb and sweet to the soul for others. Listen, there is no greater way for you to build up someone than to speak God's beautiful, wonderful, amazing words of life to them. You know, you've heard that certain things in this world do a body good. You want to do a soul good? Bring forth the scriptures to them. Remind them of God's love. Remind them of God's grace. Remind them of God's promises that are faithful and true. Remind them who they are in Christ. Colleague of mine, he spoke here a couple weeks ago. Pastor John Doerr posted something on Facebook the other day, and it says the bulk of a pastor's job to a congregation is constantly reminding them who they are in Christ. And boy, did that ring true. Because how quickly we forget who we are in Christ. Listen to me, if you are in Christ, you are saved. Amen. You are redeemed, amen. You are forgiven, amen. You are full of grace, amen. You are not of this world, amen. You got a home in glory, amen. Come on now. Remind you who you are. You are a child of the King. If anything, that should give you reason to come in God's house to sing praises to Him no matter how bad your voice is. Come on. Scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't have to sound good. He's got an auto-tuner in the clouds. Make a joyful noise. Why? Because you're a child of the King. And once you're a child of the King, there is nothing the enemy can do to change that. So he's going to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you and try to bring you down. So if the enemy's trying to do it, Christian, going back to the first part and connecting the last one here, why would you join in with the enemy to your brothers and sisters and bringing anybody else down? What you need to do is you need to build up. You need to build up. Because look, we got plenty of people who are willing to be critical in this world. Amen. Look at what it says at the end. While the lips of the righteous feed many, it says, but fools die for want of wisdom. You know who that fool is? The fool, number one, is someone who has rejected Jesus Christ. Scripture makes that very clear, right? That's why April Fool's Day is also National Atheist Day. The fool says in their heart, there is no God. And so when you get that way, listen to me, it's someone who rejects God's word when they bring the word. That's a fool. But it's not just that person. It's someone who also dies because they are constantly beaten down. They're not getting fed. They're not getting the words and the encouragement that they need. You see this in society. Can I tell you one of the best things as a pastor that I've experienced over 14 years of ministry? This is why I love having kids in our congregation, amen? Come on now. Amen. She's paying attention. Is when I get letters of encouragement. When I get emails. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for that word. I'm not saying that because I want you to do it. Please don't flood my inbox and my mailbox today, okay? You ain't going to earn any points. Pastor Jeff, thank you so much for being there. Pastor Jeff, thank you for taking me to the airport. Pastor Jeff, thank you for being there and praying with me before surgery. Boy, those encouragements go a long way because let me tell you, as a pastor, you hear a lot of critical stuff constantly. Sometimes the Lord likes to tear back that curtain and just give you a little glimpse. He won't give you much. He'll give you a little glimpse to remind you why you're doing what you're doing. And that's why it's so important for you, folks. I'm not talking about put it towards me. When's the last time you encouraged your kid outside of them doing something right? You see, we like to encourage our children only when they do something right or when they do something that we would want them to do. But when's the last time you encouraged your kid just for who they are? Yeah, it got quiet in here. Even pastor needs to work on that. Yeah, my two up here, they're like, they'll tell on you, right? When's the last time you went to, if you're in the world, and you've got people who are underneath of you in terms of your position, and when's the last time you just encouraged them for the sake of encouraging them? You do a great job. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. When's the last time you know somebody's been praying for you and you just went and you said, thank you so much. I know you covered me in prayer today. I greatly appreciate that. When's the last time you went to someone who you know is down and out and you just went to them with words of encouragement from Scripture and reminded them of the promises of God that are faithful and true? You are good enough. You are a child of God. You can do it. The Lord will get you through. He will give you victory. We need to build one another up. We know we got enough in this world to tear one another down. Goes a long way. And look, when people don't get that encouragement, folks, listen to me. When they don't get that encouragement, you know what happens? It leads to depression. Leads to thoughts of not being good enough. It leads to violent reactions because they think they're all alone and they cannot do anything right. Folks, build one another up. The lips of the righteous feed many. Listen to me. These words of encouragement, it says they feed many. One person can feed many. And we know there's a great need. Build people up. Build them up in the things of Christ. Build them up with words of encouragement. Build them up with praises and blessings. Build them up reminding them who they are. Build them up. As the worship team gets ready to come back up and lead us in a final song this morning, there's times to shut up. There's times to speak up, and there's times to build up. There's times to build up. Can I ask you this morning? I want you, during this final song, to spend some time in prayer. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, show me where's my problem. Because none of us have this down pat. Lord, are there times that I need to control my mouth, specifically against other people? Come on. Maybe the Holy Spirit, next time you feel it coming on, that Holy Spirit just needs to come up behind you and put his hand over your mouth. Or the next time you're getting ready to tweet something out or write it down, he says, yeah, you can write it all out, but then hit delete. Come on. Or maybe, Lord, help me have a little more courage to speak up to those who need, to those who can't speak for themselves, to those who need to hear it, to speak the gospel, to share Christ. Or maybe, you know, you have a critical and negative spirit about you. Maybe you need to be someone who starts taking some lessons of building people up, encouraging them. There's people that are starving for a compliment. There's people that are starving to be told it's going to be okay, to know that you care, to know that their work is being recognized. People need built up. Which one do you need to work on? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 12 that the heart controls the mouth. These things are supposed to be in our life. And folks, words are not things that God takes lightly. In fact, he goes on in Matthew 12 not just to say that you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but that we will be judged for every word that we say one day. We will be judged for every word we say and in the manner that we said it. We got to tread carefully. We got to tread lightly. We got to do things that will bring glory and honor God, and we can only do that through heeding the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, Pastor, you may say, how can we do this? Let me just end real quickly with three quick tips. When you're in a situation and you're wondering, okay, is it a time to shut up? Is it a time to speak up? Or is it a time to build up? Ask yourself these three questions. Number one, is it true? Is what I'm about to say true? If it's not, shut up. It feels weird. I always got yelled at for saying that word as a kid. But anyway, maybe you'll get the point across. Number two, is it kind? Is it kind? Look, you can tell someone they're wrong, but you need to do it in a way that has kindness and grace attached to it. Okay? Number three, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Do you have to say it? Do you need to say it? Can I tell you, 90%, probably the answer there is no. It's not necessary, we just want to. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Will you bow your heads in prayer with me today? Look, I know as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, we talked a lot about the tongue. We talked a lot about words. We talked a lot about building up and speaking up and keeping our mouths shut in certain areas. And I know this is a message that's probably directed mostly to Christians, but I can't go a message without presenting the gospel. And so there's always a necessary time when it comes to the gospel to speak up. There's always a necessary time to speak up. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, number one, you will never be able to speak words of wisdom to somebody else because you don't have wisdom personified in your life. Who is that wisdom? It's Jesus Christ. God sent his only Son into this world to die for your sin. Yes, Scripture says that you are a sinner. No, I'm not being harsh. I'm being truthful. And my job is to speak words of life. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says you're a sinner. You cannot save yourself. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many good works, no matter how big of a check you write, you cannot atone for your sins. Jesus Christ came, shed his blood on a cross to atone for your sins, and then beat death and hell and raised so that way you can have eternal life, so that way you can be reconciled with God. Jesus is the only way for salvation. And you can take that to the bank. That is true. It's what the Bible says. So I'm speaking up this morning. And I'm giving you some good news. I know in order to get to the good news that Jesus died for you and he offers salvation freely to you, no matter what your background is, you got to go through the bad news first. But praise God that he didn't just give us the bad news, but he also gave us the remedy. He didn't just tell you you're a sinner and you're lost. He said, but here's my Son who's going to pay the price for you. Put your faith and trust in him. He gave you the remedy. Praise the Lord, he didn't just leave us with the law, which showed us our sin without any remedy. But praise God, he sent his Son and said, come unto me, all you who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can do that today. You don't have to clean yourself up. You can come just as you are. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And until you see yourself as a sinner, he didn't come for you. It's tough to get to that point, though. But I pray that when you do see yourself as a sinner, that you would come to Christ. He's the only one that offers forgiveness. He's the only one that offers grace. He's the only one that offers life and life more abundantly. It's through him and his finished work at Calvary. If that's you this morning, I'd ask if you'd come. If that's you this morning, you don't feel comfortable coming to the front, hey, find me after the service. Whether it's Pastor Peter or whether it's a leader in the church, we'd love to let you know how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And basically, if the trumpet were to sound and Christ came back today, or if you were to walk out of this door and drop over dead, you'd know where you're going. You're going to heaven. But you can only get there through Christ. Heavenly Father,